Well, Qatar's foreign minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al-Thani has denounced the Saudi-led sanctions against his country, calling them unfair and illegal.
Our visit to France is part of a tour of allied and friendly countries to let them know the latest developments concerning the crisis in our region, and notably the unfair and illegal measures being imposed on Qatar. Whatever relates to our foreign affairs, no one has the right to discuss.
Al-Thani, who is in Paris on a diplomatic visit, reiterated his previous remarks that the accusations against Doha have reasons other than the charges. He added that the diplomacy and a dialogue based on clear foundations can resolve the crisis and voice support for Kuwait's mediation efforts. Al-Thani emphasized on Doha's willingness to negotiate about issues related to the collective security of the Persian Gulf countries. The top Qatari diplomat also rejected Iran being used as an excuse for the dispute. Al-Thani praised France for its efforts to resolve the crisis and urged his British counterpart to condemn the air embargo imposed on Qatar ahead of his visit to London. Joining us now via Skype from Cincinnati is Brad Blackenship. He's a journalist with Al-Masdar News. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, I'd like to pick up on the remarks made by the Qatari foreign minister regarding the accusations or charges that are being leveled against Doha. He's saying this embargo has nothing to do with these accusations in actuality. What would you say to that?
I would say that that's definitely right. The idea that Saudi Arabia gets to tell people, you know, that they are funding terrorism is kind of hilarious, because most of the terrorism that Qatar was supporting, for example, in Syria, like Jabhat al-Nusra, they were doing at the behest of Saudi Arabia. I think more accurately what this is about is the internal domestic situation of Saudi Arabia and Qatar's support for the Ikhwan groups in the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. So over the past 3 years, the situation that Saudi Arabia has been facing has been the plummeting price of oil. You know, it's gone down 50%. The price of oil used to be about $100 US, and maybe a little bit more per barrel. To now it's less than $50, and that decline has definitely affected the finances of the regime tremendously, pushing the government's budget balance from a surplus equal to about 30% of gross domestic product 10 years ago to a deficit forecast to hit this year about 17% of GDP. And this is a very sharp turnaround in the domestic market of a country. This definitely, you know, levels a lot against a country and a lot of the domestic situation, especially politically. And while the Saudi regime is no doubt a strong regional power, it's not as if Saudi Arabia, you know, exists in a vacuum. And they've seen what, you know, governments face when facing economic situations, for example, the 2011 Arab Spring. So they, you know, they have a lot of ideas at their disposal of what they could possibly do. One could be, you know, for example, deflating their currency. This seemed to work a lot for Russia in 2014 when they were facing a lot of problems with their oil exports. But the problem there for Saudi Arabia is that they don't have a diversified economy and they depend a lot on imports. Russia can, you know, doesn't depend on, like, you know, food imports as Saudi Arabia does. And so if you were to deflate your currency, the price of, like, grain would go up, and this would have a lot of internal strife. You know, they're already facing this. They are facing protests, calls for political reforms. And so they definitely cannot, you know, face any more of this. So what they're attempting to do now, they're talking in the coming year of privatizing a lot of their state oil companies. You know, it's kind of like putting themselves into the international capital market to try to diversify their economy. And what they need to do to, you know, show investors that they're ready for that is to show that they are internally stable. So that's part of the reason why they're going after Qatar. That's what I would say the main reason is.
Well, could you expand a bit more on that? Because a belligerent Saudi Arabia, which is putting up embargoes against its ally like Qatar, at the same time bombing Yemen into smithereens, doesn't really give that confidence to investors now, does it?
Well, I think most of the investors, you know, would come from, like, United States, Israel, and they are certainly not opposed to the, you know, external adventures that Saudi Arabia is embarking on. That is definitely one way that they could get their finances in order, but that's not, you know, that has nothing to do with their foreign policy prerogatives and their, you know, the the investors that they would pursue, they have no interest in ending the wars because, you know, the United States, Israel both support, and many Western countries support, or I'm sorry, profit off of these wars, for example, in Yemen and Syria. So they, you know, they would have no interest in doing that. The only real way that they can, you know, show that they are good for investors is to really crack down on a lot of the dissidents around them and then pressure Iran, which the Trump administration has shown that it wants to ramp up. You know, he's made statements saying that, you know, Iran is like the largest exporter of terrorism in the world. So any way that they can pressure Qatar, you know, and lash out at their allies, I think that this is really just showing how desperate the regime is.
All right. And very quickly, if you can, Qatar is still hopeful that political and diplomatic mediation is going to work. Do you see that?
I really don't. I don't see it at this point. Saudi Arabia has totally, you know, severed ties, and they've really changed the rule book. You know, these different tribes in Arabia for many years have kind of, you know, while they disagree and they may shut out ambassadors every once in a while, you know, it's never come to this. There's kind of this, you know, unwritten rule book of conduct, you know, that the people are supposed to abide by when dealing with each other. And Saudi Arabia has completely uprooted this kind of conduct.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. That's a journalist with Al-Masdar News, Brad Blankenship, joining us via Skype from Cincinnati. It's always a pleasure having you with us here on Press TV.